from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1, New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
All right, Big Ten South back here on The Fan. We are live at the Joe Torre Safe at Home Foundation Golf Outing, and we've had some great guests, Joe and his beautiful wife, Allie, which was fantastic. Tom Perducci hitting the Yankee in the Met angles. Liam Bazzilli, and now we got a guy who at the time, I mean, now it's easy. Oh, we love this guy. He was so amazing. But at the time, maybe one of the toughest transitions to come here, taking over for Don Mattingly. And, of course, we're talking about the great Tino Martinez. Tino, it's BT and Sal. How you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing great. Happy to be here.
Yeah, man. We had you on a couple of years ago. I probably asked you the same thing. But how daunting was it? Because even though Mattingly never won, you know how revered he is by every Yankee fan that ever watched him play. Maybe as much as Mickey Mantle, like from a comparative point of view, like the older generation. And you had to take over for him. And you didn't get off to a great start, and it was a little rough. I mean, what was that first month like for the Yankees before everything clicked and you guys started dominating?
Yeah, it was rough, but me, like everyone else, I was a big fan of Donnie as well. You know, I watched him, you know, I was in high school and college. He was already an MVP guy in 85 and all that, and loved watching him play, and I was a big fan of his. And the fact that he had a great postseason in 95 when I was with the Mariners, and their team they had at that point was, you know, kind of ready to break loose. So when Donnie retired, I think, period, no matter who came in behind him, they're going to have a hard time. You know, it's going to be tough to really try to replace him. Which you can't replace him, you just got to be yourself. But it's hard to say that once you get there. So I, you know, obviously it was tough in the beginning because I wanted to be in New York. I loved playing in Yankee Stadium. But I just tried too hard from the beginning. You know, I wanted to prove to the fans that I'm a good player. I wanted to prove to my teammates I'm a good player, and I just squeezing the bat a little bit, popping up balls right down the middle of the plate.
Yeah.
And I just got off to a slow start. It was a little tough in the beginning, but once I got going, I knew I was going to get going, and I knew that our team was good. And once we started winning and I was playing good, I knew everything would take care of itself.
Trying to pull the outside pitch, I'm sure, jacking in the porch, and rolling over to second, a five hopper. I get it. That must have been really, really hard. But I think one thing that served you very well, like if you're going to take over for somebody like Mattingly, the fact that you were I think it was very evident early, even when you were scuffling at the plate, a blue collar, hard worker, no nonsense, hustle kind of a player, even though you had a different swing than Donnie and a different bounce and a different athletic energy, I think we knew right away that this guy was all business, and it helped.
Yeah, it did. I knew the people here in New York, they want guys to go out there and work hard, play hard, no excuses. If you're playing bad, they're all blue-collar people. That's just the way the Yankee fans are. And our whole team was like that. So, you know, Donnie had this flair, though. You know, he's left-handed. He can scoop the ball. He just played with a lot of flair. And I didn't have that kind of flair. But, you know, I just tried to be myself and play my game. And I knew that I could play some good defense. And I knew that I'm going to hit, especially in Yankee Stadium. And I knew things would take care of themselves. But I wish I hadn't gotten off that slow start, though, because things would have been better earlier. But at the end of the day, you know, the fans love me after, you know, half the year goes by, and I wouldn't trade it in for anything.
You know, I haven't had a chance to interview you before, Tino, and I must let you know that I grew up a Mets fan, and I despised you and those Yankee teams. And there are a couple things I think of when I think of Tino Martinez I want to get out of the way before we move on with the interview. Number one, Can you finally admit that in the 98 World Series that Mark Langston threw you a strike before you hit the Grand Slam?
I cannot admit that.
Yeah, attaboy, it was Tino. A strike, Tino.
Attaboy.
You see it on TV every day. You watch it a game every day. That same pitch is at the bottom of that box. Sometimes they call it a strike. Sometimes they call it a ball. And most catchers now grab that ball and they pull it up.
They pull it up.
And that's what happened in my pitch. It was at the knees. I mean, if you call it a strike, you call it a strike. But I thought it was a ball the whole time. And it could have gone either way.
Oh, for
but,
one, Sal.
But no, it doesn't matter, Sal. Sal, it doesn't matter.
It wouldn't have mattered. I admit it wouldn't have mattered. But come on. Oh, bring him up. Oh, my goodness. All right, and the next one, and this is maybe less of a question but more just a conversation. The other thing I think about, you got drilled right between the numbers from Benitez, obviously, at the start of that brawl. I mean, how's your back feeling? That's still, that was. I mean, that must have hurt you for a while.
Yeah, of course it hurt, but it was just more shocking to me. I was in shock because, you know, Bernie had hit a home run right in front of me to tie the game in the bottom eighth, I believe it was. And the last thing you want to do is hit a guy with no outs and put the winning run on base. So I was not expecting that at all. And then when he hit me, I was just shocked. Like, why would he hit me? And then all of a sudden, you know, the dugout, you know, whatever, and all hell broke loose. Yeah, and
that had to be the scariest brawl you've ever been of. I mean, it went into the dugout. Graham Lloyd, Darryl Strawberry throwing those heavy fists. That was about as real as a baseball fight could possibly get.
Yeah, it was pretty scary because you're in the middle of all that. It's just, you know, you don't know who's going to sucker punch you. You don't know who's going to you know take you out or kick you with a spike and stuff. So it was scary out there a little bit. But you know, at the end of the day, it all worked out well for everyone. And I wouldn't say it brought us closer as a team because we were already tight and close. But it was something we had to go through, and it helped us.
All right, now we can move on with the rest of the interview. I had to get that out.
There you go. I love it. I love it. I love it. Tino Martinez with us here, BT and Sal, the band Tino. All right, so you come in 96, and Tony Fernandez was supposed to be the starting shortstop. I believe it was a broken arm, or not a wrist, it was a broken arm.
Yep.
Yep, so Derek gets a shot. Now, Derek, I wouldn't imagine Derek right away is the kind of player where you're like, wow, he's amazing, because he's not hitting bombs in BP.
Right.
He's a fluid athlete, but he's not like Ricky. What was your first impression of Derek Jeter? And did you ever think that he, I mean, what, there's no way you thought he could become this.
Well, I mean, at the time he took over in spring training for Tony Fernandez, they were trying to trade for somebody else, a veteran guy, and send Derek.
Oh, well, what
AAA.
Was his name? I remember Felix Vermeer.
Felix Vermeer.
That's right.
Felix Vermeer.
Give me some. I remember that. Yeah. Felix Vermeer.
Yeah, I think they wanted a veteran shortstop, but they gave Derek a chance. And he didn't have a great spring to begin with. He was hitting the ball good, playing decent defense and stuff, whatever. And he makes the team, and they decided to, you know, hit him in the ninth spot. And opening day, he hits a home run. And all of a sudden, his confidence level, he's never wavered with confidence. He's always had confidence no matter what. He hits that home run on opening day, and from that point on, it was like he was going to be a star. I mean, he was making plays on defense. He was getting clutch hits his whole entire first year. So after the 96 year when he won Rookie of the Year, he won the World Series, I mean, you thought at that point, you know, he could be something special. Again, not a 40 home run guy. Just a really good, solid baseball player all around, base runner, defense.
Yeah. Clutch.
And, clutch. Definitely clutch. I mean, when he came up in the ninth inning of any game in the postseason or in the regular season, no matter who the closer was, he's going to hit the ball hard somewhere and make something happen. So, yeah, he was an amazing player.
You guys had obviously great teams. I mean, look, it was a dynasty, we know, but it was the word team. Wasn't superstars.
Right.
Played the game the right way, played hard, tough group. You watch today's current game? Are you up with
what, I do. I don't watch a whole lot, but I do watch quite a bit, yes.
Like, BT and I talk about this all the time. I don't want to knock the players, but I know that you were in coaching a little bit and maybe had an issue with this. Do you feel like the players, like we just had it, who was it before? Was it Joe maybe himself? Or who did we have on after Joe that was saying that the player was
Tom Verducci?
Yeah, right, that it wouldn't work coaching the players the way they need to. Like we questioned Boone being able to get on these guys. Well,
right.
You really can't because the players are soft. What do you think of today's game in comparison to your tough teams and those tough days and those Yankee teams where we're at now with the modern day athletes?
Yeah, it was a different era, a totally different era. I mean, you know, Joe Torre, as calm as he is, he's not afraid to tell you, hey, you know, get in your face a little bit quietly and, you know, tell something to you, but you can't do that these days. You have, you know, the salaries are nice and big for those guys, the guaranteed contracts, and they won't respond to any of that kind of stuff.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal, the raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stuff. They're their own. As a hitting coach, you can teach them to try to hit the ball the other way. They're going to go up there and try to hit home runs. That's just the way it is, because they know that there's a lot of money in home runs. Not a lot of team ball going on. We just played the way we play. It's just the game is fine. It's just different eras. It's every 10, 20 years it changes, and that's where we are now. And there's a lot of good young players out there. The one guy I love watching is Juan Soto, because Juan Soto is a baseball player. He's a baseball player. He's a guy who chokes up with two strikes. He shortens everything up. He punches the ball the other way with two strikes.
He bunts once in a while.
I mean, the guy is like, he's playing winning baseball, and you hope that rubs off on the rest of the team, because he's up for a big payday coming up, and he's not worried about that. He's doing whatever he can every single day when I watch the games to win the game. I mean, he walks to get Judge up there. He bunts to get Judge up there. He's doing things that the rest of the team should be doing at certain points of the game that they don't do. And if they all bought into what he's doing, they'd score a lot more runs.
Tino, you're in the batter's box, and you've got a choice between 100-mile-per-hour cheese that maybe moves a little bit, a nasty 12-6 deuce that drops, you know, off the table, a changeup, like a Pedro changeup, which must have been, I don't know how the hell anybody ever hit that, that just dives into the floor, or a slider that goes from a righty that goes right at your back, right at your ankles. What's the toughest pitch to hit?
You know, 100 mile hour fastballs straight is not hard to hit.
Yeah, I mean, you'd clobber those.
Those are fine. But when they have movement on them, sink a little bit or cut a little bit, those are tough. Like Mariano Rivera. I mean, obviously it's a great, not the right guy to like compare anybody to, but his ball moved enough. You knew it was coming. It was 95 miles an hour,
yep,
94 miles an hour. You knew it was coming. Hard to hit because it had that movement on it, and it was never on the barrel of the bat. Those are the guys that are toughest with movement. Roy Halladay had a sinker, a cutter. You didn't know which way the ball was going to be moving when he threw it. Those are the guys that are tough to hit. But curveballs aren't too bad to hit. The slider, the back leg there, you learn to lay off them because, you know, you can't hit it anyway. So
yeah,
it's a ball usually. But, yeah, I would say the easiest one to hit, any player would say it, is a straight fastball, no matter what the velocity is.
Yeah, I mean, hitting is like, and you get ready to play golf, and it's funny, you would tell them that you play righty, not lefty, which I find interesting. But hitting is such a high rate of failure. I mean, even for players, anybody that makes the majors, I mean, you were a stud even the worst player, relatively worst, on any roster was a stud in high school, a stud at JUCO, just a stud. Is there a point, even at that level, where you're in the batter's box and you're like, no matter what I do, I am so lost right now, I can't square this ball up? Like, can a professional hitter get that deep in their head where they can't even do something they've done forever?
Yeah, I mean, it's like everything else, you know. It's more like seeing the ball. If you don't pick up the ball right away, you're in trouble. You're going to be off. You're going to be out front. You're going to be late. Your timing's going to be totally off. And then it's just a matter of getting back in your groove again, seeing the ball again, trusting your instincts to hit the ball. But, yeah, it's a long season. You know, you get tired. Some days you're tired, some days you're not. It's just a hard grind that you just got to deal with throughout the year. But, yeah, you can go through funks like that, but you can also get out of them pretty quickly.
BT and Sal here on the Fan Talk with Tino Martinez. We're live at the Joe Torre Safe at Home Foundation Celebrity Golf and Tennis Classic here. I asked your former skipper this before, Tino, so I'll ask you. Subway Series, I mean, the Mets just pummeled the Yankees. I don't recall, and I was at the very first one in 1997, was at the World Series, all those different things. I don't recall it being non-competitive from a Yankees side of things the way that this Subway Series was this year. Matter of fact, the only only other time the Mets have swept an entire season series was 2013. How do you think this would have gone down had the Mets pummeled you guys the way that they've done the current Yankees when you were playing?
Well, there would have been quite a few people fired. There'll be some guys been traded. The boss would not have accepted that. He would not have accepted that little middle of the season three-game series we played back then.
Yeah. No, well, we wish your son wouldn't accept it. Well, that would be nice.
I mean, I do. Again, you know, it's a different game. It's different. The player's different. The boss is unique. He was unique. He would not accept that. I mean, you lose to the Mets. You lose to the Red Sox. You get swept by the Red Sox. Something's going to happen. You know something's going to happen. It's just the way it was.
You think there's a lack of accountability in the Yankee organization right now to a fault?
They have a good team. They have a very good team out there. They're just not performing like they should. They did early in the season, and it's tough. You go into funks like hitting as well throughout the year, and they're kind of in one of those spots right now where they're hitting, they're not hitting. It's just you got to go through that and fight through it. So hopefully they can get out of it. But they know everybody on the teams. You know their jobs are safe. They don't have to worry about anything.
The Yankees obviously going to try to upgrade their team at the trade deadline. I know you're with the Marlins organization. We referenced that before. Any experience with Jazz Chisholm? There were some reports that were saying that maybe the Yankees were worried about how he would fit in to their clubhouse. You have any dealings or encounters with him that you would?
I did not. I didn't have any encounters with him, but I do know that when guys do come over and get traded to the Yankees, they seem to buy into the Yankee way of doing things, work hard, play team ball. And I'm sure he would be the same way, and I'm sure he would flourish here because he's a very flashy guy that loves playing in front of people. So if you like playing in front of big crowds and in tough situations, this is the place to be.
I feel like I know what you mean, that when you come to the Yankees, you conform. And I'm not saying that it wouldn't be applicable here, but I feel like it was more applicable back in the day.
Yeah.
Where, and I like Aaron Boone, but Torrey's presence and O'Neill's presence, your presence, Posada's presence, Derek's presence. I'm not saying that Chisholm would be a nightmare here. Yeah. I'm not saying, but I don't know that they would, whether he or somebody else that might not be a great personality fit, would just snap into the Yankee way as quickly today as they used to, because I think the Yankee way is very different than it used to be. Is that unfair?
It's not unfair. No, it's totally different. Yeah, it's different. You know, a Judge does a good job of trying to keep the team together and play hard and stuff like that. Like, they're not too much of a flashy team of pimping home runs and all that kind of stuff. And it's different, but I think, when you get a chance to nothing against the Miami Marlins there, because they're not really a playoff contender, sometimes they are, but to go to a team that has a chance to win the World Series, your attitude changes. You're going to be a little bit more accountable, and hopefully he does come here, he'll want to buy into that and try to win a World Series.
Makes sense. Tino, we're going to let you run. I know you're getting ready to tee off in a moment. Tino Martinez, of course. This is real quick. This will be fun, all right? Okay. Putting you on the grill with the Yankees here. He's going to show up for Old Timers Day. If he says the wrong thing, they're going to say, get lost. Nah, I'm just kidding. All right, so the answer has to be a former Yankee. Number one, one person you could tee it up and play 18 holes with. What former Yankee player are you going to tee it up with? One person.
One former player that I would tee it up with.
That you'd really want to play golf with for 4 hours.
The guy I played with?
Yep, had to be a former teammate.
Oh, man, I would say probably Jorge Posada.
All right, Jorge, shout out to Posada. Love him.
Hip, hip, Jorge!
That's right. Number two. A really, really nice, rare bottle of wine or two. You had to knock it back with somebody. Which former Yankee would you choose to, of course, not drive in? Who would you knock it back with?
Bernie Williams.
Bernie.
Hey,
quick answer. Yeah, I love it. Yeah. Okay. Last one. You're in a bar fight, not now, when you're younger, okay? And somebody's got to have you back, and you're not really outnumbered, so it's pretty much two-on-two, and, it's all fair as long as you have somebody you could throw with you. Who do you want having you back in that foxhole in that situation?
Daryl Strawberry.
Daryl!
I was going to say Graham Lloyd. I mean, my goodness.
Daryl Strawberry, man.
Oh, that's great.
Daryl.
That's awesome.
Daryl's the best.
Nah, he is.
Come on,
we
Tino.
What?
It was a strike.
Stop.
It was a strike. Langston.
No, the 3-2 pitch was a strike. It was right, belt high. That was a strike.
Yes. And then it wound up off the facade.
That was a strike. Yes.
Tino, God bless you, brother. You look awesome, man.
Thank you, guys.
Tino Martinez. We'll get a quick timeout. Bogus with the update. We'll come back from Sleepy Hollow. It is BT and Sal right here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.